Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. Sometimes even more often than that. In the studio with me today, if you haven't recognized the
one
laugh.
One and only.
Not the one and only.
True. Yep.
No, there's more like you. They're just...
I haven't met them.
They're put on special islands out in the South Pacific and dropped there and left there so that nobody gets
bothered.
That's
what Australia was used for back in the day, right?
Yes, I know. That's how they got the accent.
I'm not following on that one.
Well, there's nothing to follow, so don't worry about
okay,
it.
Okay.
Anyway, CJ in the studio with me today. Okay, so we have a topic today that he doesn't want to talk about. It's all about prioritizing. It's all about, you know how the world has a tendency of luring us away from...
our walk.
Well, you know, yeah, from our walk, from our vision that God has given us and that we were once fired on at one time and all of a sudden you're not. There's a reason for that, and we're going to talk about that sort of thing. What happened, you know, and some of the things that can actually take us away from that, and how do we get back on track, in a sense?
Amen.
We hope that somebody comes in the studio to let us know that. We can come up with all the other reasons as to
why
it happens.
We have an hour.
We'll see
to
what
get
happens.
It.
Well, not quite an hour. Time, you know, it's not quite an hour, so you better.
47.
Yeah, well, anyway. So, but we know that the Holy Spirit is present here with us, and I'm glad you're here with us today. We always like to kick things off with some encouragement. It might not be the greatest encouragement, but it's better than not being encouraged at all.
Here we go. This is Luke 22:30.
Oh, you have some encouragement.
Yes, I do. Oh. By the grace of God, yep. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But
wait,
I have...
Where's this at again?
Luke 22, 31.
Okay, Luke 22.
I'll start over because I was
interrupted.
And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Now notice it doesn't say that I have prayed that you should not go through any trials, but that your faith should not fail you. And as you notice, it said Satan has asked for you. So sometimes Satan will ask the Lord for ourselves in our own life, and we will be put through.
You know, we only think that he does because we're so that we're so high and mighty.
Well, it may not be Satan, but something's going to go on where you're going to be tested beyond what you think you can endure. And the Lord may not necessarily pull you out of it, but he will give you the strength you need to stand up under it so that you can get through it and persevere through it so that you can help your brethren, as it says, after you have gotten through it. So that's the encouragement.
You know, these are two verses that I actually use at times talking with guys just to sit there and just think, can you imagine walking with Jesus, hanging out with him for, you know, I don't know.
3 years.
Maybe, but this is toward the end of 3 years, probably in the middle somewhere. I mean, you've been with Jesus over a year, right? And he knows you. He's got a plan for you. You're going to be, you know,
the rock.
You're going to be the guy. His church is going to be. Well, he's not the rock that the church is built on. He's the one that's actually to manage it, take care of it and stuff. The rock is Jesus himself. But the fact is that all of a sudden Jesus comes up to you and just says, you know, as you're sipping on your coffee, right, around the fire, just eat a, you know, a little bread.
Hey,
and
by
stuff.
The way, Simon, yeah. Peter.
Hey, Simon, you know, the devil came up to me. We chatted for a little bit, and he wants to have his way with you. And I said, you know what? Okay. Mm. I just want to let you know I'm going to pray for you, you know? I mean, I'd be sitting there going, what?
Thanks, Jesus. I appreciate that.
You know what I would, but the, you know, in a sense, what is, I mean, think about it. Peter said the same thing later on. Now, we're not making fun of this, but the fact is that the reality is,
yeah.
is that.
Well, if you put yourself in that shoes, that'd be quite.
In today's world,
we
sit there saying, you're going to do what? No. Come on, Jesus. Just call the angels and just, you know, just, you shouldn't be listening to that guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Intercede, take
you
it
know?
Away, get rid of this
so
thing in my life.
So what God, I believe what Jesus is really letting us know is that what he's doing, he's saying, hey, listen, you know what? For those who are going to expand his kingdom, okay, you're going to be tested.
Oh, it's a battle. That's no joke.
You're going to be tested.
Yep.
God will test you.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't tempt you, but he'll test you. He won't say, hey, are you on board, Raul?
Yep.
CJ, are you gonna bail out on me here? You know, when things start to get a little tough, are you going to bail out on me? You know,
yep.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for you. Now, if there's any prayers that are heard, the greatest intercessor of all time is Jesus,
Amen.
Right?
That's what you want praying for you.
That's who you want praying for you. There's no doubt. Say, I hope that doesn't have to go very long, that prayer, before it's answered.
Amen to that.
But he's going to pray for what? That your faith may not fail. Okay?
Have endurance through it.
You know?
Yep.
That your faith does not fail. And when you have turned again, go ahead and strengthen your brothers.
Because they're going to be going through the same stuff, so then you can help them and say, hey, this is what happened. The Lord got me through this, and this is how we're going to do it.
Yeah, because what you're doing is giving away what you've received.
Amen.
And when you give it away, all of a sudden what entail takes place is that you end up sitting there or living life and sitting there going, wow, okay, got through that, and now that I'm able to help others, then you encourage others to encourage others.
And here's the thing is if you're always pleading with, and we all do, we always plead with the Lord to take away, but if the Lord takes away everything that he gives you, you're not going to learn anything. Your faith is going to be pretty weak, and you're not going to be able to help anyone. You're not going to advance any kingdom. You're just going to be sit there in your own little room having your own little conversation with God. You're not going to do anything to advance his kingdom. So he's got to put us through things that we don't think that we can endure so that he can build us up, so that we can help build others up.
And truly what this, you know, it's ironic, I guess maybe is a good way of putting it, that you bring this up as an encouragement, because this is what the topic is that we're talking about today.
You're right.
It really is the topic about what we're talking about today. When all of a sudden we sit here and start to realize that, okay, we've got Jesus, okay, we've been walking with Jesus for a little while, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, we can become complacent sometimes. You get to a place, I mean, comfortable in a sense, saying, okay, you know, I can ease back on the throttle here a little bit, you know, and just cruise at a certain level.
I got
level,
my salvation.
You know?
I'm good.
Just cruise at a level. But, you know, here's the deal. We've got something that's battling against us. Or if you were cruising in an airplane, you have things that are battling against you there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's called the law of gravity. Okay? Somewhere along the line, you have to refuel. Okay? And you've got to make sure the engine's running. You got to make sure everything's good. So you periodically, it's kind of nice when you land to have people check on that sort of thing to make sure that things are topped off in a sense, right?
Well, the problem is when we stay in the air too long and we don't refuel, or and we just get drawn away from the Lord, and we're not getting fed like the way we should be getting fed. So
So what does that look like in today's world with the guys today? I mean, we look back, I mean, let's just go back here just for a moment here where Jesus talks to Peter, right? And he's going there. I mean, this precedes what he just tells Peter prior to what Peter's going to end up doing. He's going to betray him. So it is almost nearly the end of 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So he's actually saying, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny 3 times that you know me. He says that. That's within the same paragraph.
Peter, man. I always feel so bad for Peter.
Yeah. But look what the Lord demands. He wants all of us.
Amen.
He wants all of us, not just part of us. not just, you know, just when you awaken, just when you're around people at that you want to influence or you want them to think that you are a certain way.
Well, and that's, I think,
he wants you all the time.
When we're comfortable, when we get complacent, when we so-called, we get our salvation, I think we feel as if we can start including the world more and more into our life because we're like, okay, I have Jesus. I have him. I got my salvation. Now I'm just going to include a little bit of what I want to do here. Is that not how it is?
Yeah. I just might smoke a little cigar on the beach here for a little while here.
I know I'm not going to go to hell by doing this over here, so I'm just going to include this, and then you include this over here.
I like how, yeah, we convince ourselves, I'm not going to go to hell for this.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And so we keep adding on. Yes. And yes, you may not necessarily go to hell for smoking a cigar or whatever it is, but what it is slowly you're being drawn. The devil is the best at what he does. That's why he is the devil. He will slowly add on to your play and pull you away, get you distracted, say, oh, I can add a little here, I can add a little there.
But see, here's the thing is that I don't believe that Satan even knows my name. I mean, there's billions of us, okay? I don't think he even knows my name. He doesn't get around like, he's not God.
No, he's
okay?
not.
He doesn't know everything that's going on.
No.
And the fact is, but yet there are demons that are along with him. There are a whole bunch of fallen angels that came with him, right?
Yeah.
When he fell.
A third of heaven.
There are a whole bunch of them, okay?
Hundreds of thousands.
So
millions.
That means that he's got guys working on us.
Amen.
The demons that are sitting there.
Yep.
Now, here's part of what takes place is I believe that, yes, at a time, these guys are so good at what they do. They know how to be able to coerce us into doing certain things, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Into thinking certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're actually in the dark, when we're doing things that are not favorable in God's eyes, the enemy just backs off. He says, hey, Raul's doing just fine. I'm just going
to help him.
I don't have to do anything. I can now spend some time over here on CJ.
Yeah.
And because he's, you know, having some.
Well, and that is exactly how it is. And then what's going to happen is you're going to get convicted about that thing you got going on in your life. Let's say you have a drink every other night. You may not be an alcoholic, but you feel as if you have to have it. And so all of a sudden you get a little conviction, and then all of a sudden Satan's going to try to draw you, put something else on your plate, and then all of a sudden you might have a drink.
Well, you need more than one drink.
Yeah, to help.
I only needed one with this other challenge. Now I got another challenge on top of that one.
And that's how it works. And slowly, and that's how it works. We get more and more added to our plate, and all of a sudden we're completely away from the Lord. And before we know it,
these things are subtle because the draws of the world. Okay, he says that, you know, not to be of the world, not to love the world, to avoid.
Well, hate everything of the world.
Yes,
yeah.
But the fact is that do we? No, because sometimes we get caught up in everyday life of being able to. I mean, from the simple things of we think that cheering on our favorite sports team. That there's nothing wrong with that, but in a sense, it's almost idolizing.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is.
I'm sorry. I'm setting this 3-4 hours aside because the game is on.
Yeah. And what's even more is that you're encouraging and rooting for something that is extremely worldly in itself as well. So that you got to add that on
now,
to your plate.
Now,
as well.
you know, right now we're getting some guys saying, hey, "You guys
humbug.
Are so legalistic and just, you know, what is up with that?" Well, here's the deal.
Well, you either feed the flesh or you feed the spirit. That's where it comes down to. The 3 hours you're spending in America, football season will be kicking off here in a few more months. But
they're saying, wait a minute, CJ, you're talking about just 1 3-hour afternoon on a weekend. I'm not bothering anybody. I'm cheering on with others to try to, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Well, here's the thing. I would say is that you are getting more encouraged by the world, the flesh, you're feeding your flesh, as opposed to getting encouraged and feeding the spirit. And here's the thing is if a man, let's say, is in the Word for 10 to 20 hours a week praying and reading, you know, maybe watching a 3-hour football game, you know, isn't the best, it's not going to be the worst, But it's better than someone who just goes to church on Sunday and then watches a 3 or 4, 5, 6 hour Sunday in football. So that's where we have to prioritize what we're doing. So now I'm not saying here, oh, now I just got to spend 10 hours in the Word and I can watch all the football I want.
Yeah, that's
not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is the prioritizing is if we are truly putting the Lord first and we are putting everything that we have into Him first and we're spending a significant amount of time of our life getting fed by Him and getting encouraged and nourished and so we can help others. And I don't think that the Lord, he has given us things to be able to enjoy, to relax. But when it's the same thing, I think I've said on here, Leonard Ravenhill said that entertainment is the devil's substitute for joy. And it is. When we don't have the joy that we should have in the Lord, we're looking for our entertainment in other places. And so we continue, as in football, we'll sit and watch football for an entire Sunday to try to get filled up with some kind of joy, because we get joy once our team wins. But if they lose, then we're going to go to the bar and drink. So what it comes down to is if you're not truly in the Word enough, getting fed enough, you really need to not do anything in the world. That's what it comes down to. So, and once again, you know, I'm not being legalist, say, you know, 10 hours and you can go watch a football game, but you got to be wise.
Part of what it comes down to is being able to express certain things, because yes, what Jesus is asking us to do is something that is totally opposite of what the world is wanting us to do.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
And what our flesh is doing. You know, we are, yes, God created us, but because of the fall of man, we are put in a world where there's going to be constant enticement to try to, to be able to give you pleasure and comfort and all these
so-called
things.
So-called joy.
Exactly. Yep. That we sit there, wow, everyone else is doing that, so why can't
they
I?
They look happy. You know? I want that.
But it starts at a youthful age, right?
It does.
But this is where the fall begins here, is because the dads aren't teaching the kids necessarily.
Amen.
And that's where we're talking to you right now.
Amen.
We're in the midst of, whether we realize or not, we started from our encouragement right into the whole thing. We're going to take a break right now. We're going to come back, talk about this thing a little bit more, about being lured. What does that really look like? Man, that looks like something really good. I got to bite it. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
If you're a man that is struggling with alcohol, drugs, pornography, money issues, gambling, there is hope for you. On Monday nights, we have Valiant Warriors, and I invite you to come and check this out. You will come to learn very quickly that you're not alone in your challenge, that there's no judgment nor condemnation. A group of men who are willing to say, I need help. If you live in Whatcom County, come and check us out on Monday nights, every Monday night at 6 p.m. You will not regret it, because there is hope and you can break free. For more information, go to bandofbrothersforchrist.org and click on Valiant Warriors.
Don't have time or energy to keep up with your yard work?
That's for sure. And that's why we choose Kane's Lawn and Garden, and we have for years. If you live in Whatcom County, Kane's Lawn and Garden can help you with the mowing, the edging, the shrub care and pruning, property weed control, general property cleanup, whatever you need. Give them a call to get a quote. 360-312-9524 or visit their website, caneslawnandgarden.com. caneslawnandgarden.com.
The shame that grips you now is crippling. It breaks my heart to see you suffering. 'Cause I am for you. I'm not against you. If you want my hands, look at my side. If you could count the times and say you are free.
drops in the ocean.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. CJ and Raul in the studio. Okay, we're talking about the lures of the world and how that takes us away from prioritizing on the Lord. There's discouragement that comes with living in this world also. Mm-hmm. It's not just so much a lure of that we're going to get something. As a result of maybe being convinced to head towards something to get it, to acquire it, because that's going to bring me the things that I so in my flesh I want. Mm-hmm. It's going to bring me pleasure. It's going to bring me satisfaction. It's going to bring me happiness. It might even give me joy to a certain degree or whatever, right?
Yeah. Well, it's like if we're on the path going towards Heaven's Gate, and we look to the side, and we see what looks to be a shortcut, and it's a much better walk on that, you know, it's nice green grass, and we're like, oh, this will be better on my feet, and I can get there quicker. So we take that shortcut, we're going, but on the way, it leads us into a pit or a tragedy somewhere along the line, because we veered off the course, and so we wanted to have it easier. We wanted to get something else in our life that would make the walk easier. And so in the process of going off, veering off course, of grabbing that thing in the world, all of a sudden we have caused upon ourselves a lot of grief, a lot of anguish, whatever that may be. It could be a job. You change jobs because it pays an extra 20 grand a year, but then you move there, and then all of a sudden, schools are bad, your kids are good. So it's just, it can tumble, and it all because of we're drawn away with what we think will be a better life for us. And so we're attracted by that, and we'll take a shortcut so that we can get there.
Yeah. You know, so often discouragement, disappointment leads us down a path of changing our mind about the Lord, too, thinking that all of a sudden we don't get something. Wait a minute, I thought I've been praying about this, or, you know, I've been following him, but then all of a sudden I'm not getting what I thought I would get.
Yeah, I'll just get it then.
Yeah, I'll just either get it myself, or I'll just stop believing what he's saying, or, I mean, is this not what happened when Jesus told Peter, okay, said, you know what, Satan's demanded to have his way with you. And that he might, and I've decided, in a sense, this is my little saying, I've decided I'm going to go ahead and just pray for you. I'm going to let him have his way with
you. I'm going to let you go through this.
You know? And, but know this, when you have turned again, see, Jesus knew that he was going to turn again, that this is where you need to strengthen your brothers.
Okay. Amen.
Now, and this is, and going just with what it says here, okay, in the very next verse, Peter said to the Lord, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And then Jesus said, oh, well, wait a minute here. Let me just tell you what's going to take place. I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me. Okay? So the crow is going to, I mean, he's going to just.
He ain't crow.
He's going to crow.
Well, and that's.
Or the crow. The rooster's going to crow.
Yeah. Yeah. The crow's going to rooster.
Yeah, the crow's going to rooster. The rooster's going to crow three times, okay? Or I should say he's going to crow, but Peter's going to deny him three times. Let me get this straight. But the fact is that do we not do the same thing with the Lord, okay?
Oh, say this is, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to die for you. And then all of a sudden.
And all of a sudden, and the Lord, we read this passage, and he's saying, whoa. So all of a sudden, I got some challenges to take place in my life. Well, I guess the Lord just bailed out on me.
Well, I think what it is I think we do get fired up for that, and then all of a sudden we forget that what he said earlier. The Satan has asked for you to sift you, and he says, "But I'll pray for you. I'm gonna let you go through." We forget that we have to go through all this stuff in order to get to the point where we need to get. And so, in the process of us going through that hard, difficult, because the trail to Heaven's Gate, in a sense, is difficult. It is hard a lot of the times, and so we just want to get off course real quick, go around it, and then come back on. And it's just the same way as when he's putting us through that. We do. We don't want to keep going through. We forget what he says, and we're just going to go for the easy route, the easy thing. Yes. And then all of a sudden, once we have that, then all of a sudden they keep drawing us away. Some people go off that trail, man. They never get back on.
Well, so,
they're so
often
drawn away by
the
world.
We do the same thing sometimes in our walk. The less that we actually spend in God's presence, in other words, being of being mindful not only his presence in our lives, because he lives within us. Once Amen. We accept him as Lord and Savior, okay, he is in us. The Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit is within us, okay? And we forget about that.
Amen.
If we're not talking, if we're not in relationship, in flourishing with, in relationship with other believers, we're not reminded of that. Because in our, again, the world will lure us away. It doesn't take very long, does it? It doesn't no, take but a splecken in some cases, yeah. where all of a sudden, you know, something can, you know, get your mind on something else, and all of a sudden, before you know it, you're sitting there going, oh my gosh, I need to ask for forgiveness, yeah. you know, or what, you know.
Well, and the thing is the enemy, he knows what is going to tempt, what I have to go through may not be what Peter had to go through. It may not be what Raul have to go through. It's going to be something else. You may have to face Satan one-on-one. Now, someone else may have to fate a woman who's very tempting one. I mean, so you're going to have different things. And so all of a sudden, the world is going to entice to you what it knows, what the enemy knows that is going to draw you away. And so what it is when we have to, let me back up. So we have to, in giving everything to the Lord, we can't want to have some of the world. We can't want to have some of this over here, some of that, because the devil, he knows, the enemy knows what it's going to take in order for us to get completely off the road. And he's going to continue to entice us. And so we have to be on our feet at all times and know that when we start getting too busy, get into the Lord, it's kind of a wake-up call. So, I mean, with my own life, I got too much on my plate right now. And I'm kind of in a situation where it's like that for another month and a half because I took on a coaching role. And so now my brother was supposed to lead it, and he kind of fell out. So now I had to step in and do it. So I'm stuck there now for another.
And if his brother's listening, he didn't mean to just throw you under the
bus. Oh, yes, like I that. Did. I'm throwing. No, but what it is now this is a learning lesson for myself that, you know, I'm not going to put myself in a situation where I'm going to have to take the full responsibility if something happens. So the same thing happens throughout life. If that new job offers you, you got to think everything that's going to follow it, what could happen, what may happen, what's going to draw you away. It's kind of the old saying, more money, more problems, in a sense. So, I mean, a lot of that is true. So we have to be careful of what we're letting impact us, influence us from the world. So,
well, let's take another break, and when we come back from the break, let's talk about some of these things that are important for us to be able to. Now, we know of the lure, and maybe we'll just briefly go over a few of those things that mm-hmm. the world will take us off track with, but then how do we get back on track? What are some of the things that we need to be able to do to be able to keep from being
enticed?
We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Need more in-depth biblical counsel on a specific subject? Check out our latest of recommended books on the Band of Brothers page at faithplace.org.
Summer is in full swing, and there's nothing that says summer like a great barbecue with friends. If you're having a barbecue, make sure you serve your guests top quality meats from Hemplers. Hemplers offers hot dogs, bratwurst, and delicious bacon, the perfect addition to any hamburger. They offer a variety of meats that are nitrate-free and have no gluten. Improve your next barbecue by choosing Hemplers meats. For more information and where to purchase Hempler meats, go to Hemplers.com.
Tell me that I'm not.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, CJ and Raul. Okay, a couple of things. There are three areas I just want to just touch on that I think are some of the lures to take us away from focusing on the Lord, okay? One is money. The other one is power. And the other one is pleasure, okay? I think those three will almost cover just
about
everything.
Just about everything.
Just about everything that we have, you know? Money is so important. We we need money. We all need money. We need money to be, you've got to be able to pay for a place that you're living. You got to pay for food. You got to pay for, you know,
transportation,
all of that sort of thing. So money is important, and money is not evil. It's the love of money that the Bible says is evil. Okay. That is the root of all evil.
Amen.
Okay. So, so money itself is not, they've used money even back in the day when Jesus was there.
Yep.
Remember Jesus told one of his apostles to go fishing. We got to pay taxes, go fishing. You know, I'm sitting there going, I wish I could catch a fish like that. Open its mouth and he's going to have, you know, the gold coin there or whatever it is, you know, that I,
Lord, but anyway, bless my fishing trip.
But the fact is that that's what is necessary. Mm-hmm. God knew that. Jesus said, "You pay the Caesars what is Caesar's." You know, so and so wherever you're at, you pay the taxes and so on and so forth. So money, sometimes we try to not only acquire more of it, but we try to keep as much of ours as possible, right?
Yeah, we covet that for sure. We don't
so we do that
go.
In the sense that you know that hey, this is what you know is important and necessary for me.
Tithing, taxes. I mean, all this. I mean, we touched down a little bit on that on the break. All that is. I mean, it is when we have. Money we don't want to get two reasons is we want the money so
it's mine
yeah, so and for the for the second reason or the third I think you said pleasure so we can spend you know prodigally on ourselves so we can entertain ourselves so we want more money to do that and then also we want more money so that we don't have to worry or stress about how we're going to be taken care of or anything and so
yeah,
we don't
it gives
have
you
to
power money
yeah.
gives you power
so we don't have to rely on the Lord then you know
as much
yeah as much exactly that's exactly
yeah.
what it is
that's
as
it. Yep.
much
that's
what
yeah.
it goes back to is okay Lord I got you here but I'm just gonna add this
because
I'm
see,
gonna
part,
add this money so that you know I don't have to worry anymore
part of it is that we create our own little kingdom okay and that I'm the god with the little g
yeah,
okay
yeah.
And I'm really submitting to the big God. You know,
yeah.
I'm a little God, but I'm the big God. You know, on Sundays and you know during certain times of
you know,
the year.
You know, actually, you know what that's like is kind of how Satan's rule is. Satan's a prince of this world. He has a dominion authority over this, but he is sovereign. God is sovereign over him, and so we do the same thing. I'll do that. I know you're sovereign. I know you have control, but I'll just control this.
Yeah,
because I know
this a little bit because you don't really care about this stuff. I've acquired it. And
I'm just micromanaging. You got the whole management going on.
Micromanaging. But see what ends up taking place here is that the lure of the world is that all of a sudden our mind is focused on taking care of this, trying to acquire it.
Yeah, we get consumed
in a sense.
Yeah.
How to make the money? Well, if I can't work, well, maybe I can get unemployment. You know, I can sit back. I've seen some of those guys. They've been able to get a lot of money every week. Just and all I have to do is put down two places that they're looking for work and
I think it's
that,
three.
Or whatever it. Yeah, you look at whatever it is. Okay. The fact is that you look at ways of being able to acquire the money to be without having to put
Earn
any
it.
Effort into it,
yeah.
other than thinking. So, oh, my best thinking got me this money. You know, my best thinking got me this money. I didn't have to put any effort into it. I didn't have to be physical.
The Lord blessed me with his intellectual, intelligent mind.
We justify it any way that we need to. And right now I know I got guys who are sitting there. You got to be kidding. You know, you're talking like that. You know, if you only no, I'm not saying that there aren't people who actually deserve and need that sort of thing. But there are an awful lot of us that actually end up taking advantage of the situation.
You know what? I will say, if it convicts, let it convict. If it doesn't, does it. That's going to be my thing from now on, you know, so because you can't say and please everyone. If it convicts your spirit, then let it convict. Don't get all upset and you know.
Okay. Well, anyways. So along with that, that means in a sense of if you're other people are going to be able to do things for you. That doesn't mean like employees or something, like your wife, you know. Maybe she's going to be the breadwinner in a sense. Well, you need to take responsibility of taking care of some of the things that would normally be taken care of if you were the breadwinner.
Mm.
In other words, whether if you have kids, making sure that they're taken care of and things that, you know. I mean, being a godly man doesn't mean that you have to be the breadwinner. It needs means that you need to be the spiritual lead
Amen.
In your family.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
And to be the spiritual lead, you've got to be in relationship with him.
And being in relation with him, I think that's when we want to control a little bit here, control a little bit there, and this is the most tragic of all is taking some for ourselves and not letting the Lord be Lord over our entire life. Because when we're holding back, the Lord can't work in us in that area.
Yep.
And we're going to be weak in that area, in a sense. Our faith isn't going to be strong. Mm-hmm. We're going to be weak in that area. And then all of a sudden, we're not going to be able to lead our family the way we should be because we struggle in that area. And I guarantee you, if you struggle in a certain area, either one, the Lord is going to test you, or two, he's going to let the devil test you in that area. Because even with my own sons, let's say, I'll just use wrestling practice. I know my son isn't good at one thing. He's good at other things. I'm going to make him continue to do that one move because I know he's not very good at it until he gets good at it. Because mm-hmm. he needs to get. So the same thing is with our walk, with whatever area we're not good in. If you are the child of God, he's going to want you to be, to excel in all areas. And to excel in all areas, he's got to put you through testing so that you can endure it, so that you can get through it. And when we hold back from the Lord, we're not allowing him to work in us to be able to be Lord over our entire life. And so all of a sudden, when we're leading our family and something happens, like I lose my job or finances are crippling or weak or whatever, all of a sudden, then we go into a chaotic state and frantic, and we don't know what to do. And it's because we're weak in that area because we've never let the Lord take control of that area. And so when the trial takes place, all of a sudden the man of the house has fallen apart because he doesn't have enough faith in him to get through it, because he's always been trying to hold back from the Lord and not let the Lord work in him. So I would say that's the most tragic part of holding back from the Lord, is that when the trial comes, we're not going to be able to stand up under it.
It's so often that we are not willing to even look at our own lives that way. And this is where relationship with other brothers in Christ allow us to be able to be seen, because we get to be known by others. They get to know us a little bit. And there's a sense of accountability. Not that we're trying to beat each other up and saying, oh, I'm better than you, and look at this, what you're doing wrong and what you're doing. No, this is about in love, that you're actually trying to encourage, to say, hey, brother, maybe if you looked at things this way rather than that way, you know, maybe, because this is what used to happen with me. This is what I did. And that's why it's so important that to be able to minimize a lot of this stuff, the influences of the world, we need to be in fellowship. And when we're not in fellowship, guess what we're in fellowship with? The world.
Amen. Okay. And I would to emphasize on that is let's go, I'll go back to the, to walk in the path is if you see your brother, he looks to the side and he sees that nice path, and you've already been down that path, and he starts to step off, you can be there. This is what you're talking about. It's out of love and gentleness, and it's not out of I am better than you, but you should want to pull him back on the path because you know what lies down that path. So you should want to bring him back on the path and correct him so that he knows, hey, what's going on? I've been down there. That's what's down there. Don't go down there. I'm going to pull you back on this path. I know it's tough here, but we got to keep it. It's much worse down that path. It looks good, but it's worse on the end. So I think that is the Christian walk we all do, is we help encourage. I think that's what you're trying to imply, is we encourage each other to get back on track. And it's out of love. It's not out of I am better, you know. So
let's take a last break here. And we've actually expanded quite a bit on the money thing. Then it turned into a few other things. But that's all right. This is all good stuff.
Amen.
But let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll continue on. Trying to see if we can find out what power looks like and what the pleasure looks like in the world,
power
and how we defeat those things. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
You restore my soul. Now I'm made new because of you. Yeah, you
Welcome
back to Banner Brothers Radio.
Thank you for saying that.
With Raul in the house.
Okay. Well, all right, let's talk about this, one of the other ones. We mentioned power and pleasure. And, and power, we can talk about that another time. But we don't have enough time. But let's go to the pleasure mode, okay? The pleasure enticement is of being comfortable, okay? Mm-hmm. Right? So whatever it is that's going to bring comfort to me, okay? Now, I can justify certain things by saying I want my family to be comfortable. But really what it comes down to is I want to be comfortable.
It's about self.
Okay? Yeah. Now, especially when, you know, if you need money to be able to acquire some of these things, so you'll do whatever is necessary. The other thing is in pleasure is pleasure of the flesh, okay? Of for guys who are single, sit there and say, man, you guys who are married got it made because you can have sex anytime you want. I can have sex, and Raul says masturbation is making love to yourself, and I shouldn't be doing that sort of thing. And so, you know, what do you, you know, what is the guy supposed to do? You know,
get married.
There, if you can't, what's the same? That's what it says. That's what Paul says. Hey, if you can't handle the situation,
get married.
Then look for a wife.
And I truly believe that you should. There's so many young men justify sleeping around and having fornication or whatever you want to call it, with it's just love. We will get married, but we're not right now. We don't have the money. And just so you guys know, this is what I used to do. So
I didn't know that. Wow. So, but really, it's not about just getting married. You got to be responsible, because sometimes you can find a woman who is naive, doesn't know quite everything that's going on. Maybe she doesn't have, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you can convince her that you're the one for her, and you decide to get married just to have sex. It's not about just the sex, okay? Because you got to know the purpose and reason for why God wanted marriage.
And right? If you're listening to this radio, this is going to sound completely different from the world, but you shouldn't be getting married unless you have a foundation with God in the first place.
Yep.
And then sex isn't just sex. It's truly in the form it's meant to be. It's making love, and in the process, it's honoring God. And so unless you're at that point, you shouldn't be getting married. You shouldn't be doing anything until you're at the point where you're serving the Lord with everything that you have. And then if the Lord gives you a helpmate, then it happens. Yeah. And then, you know, you go from there. But you shouldn't even be thinking about the pleasure that you – and that's what comes down to is what I want.
And the thing is, it's easier said than done. There is no doubt.
It really is.
And you're talking to a couple guys who have failed in that area a lot, just
greatly.
No different than you guys who are listening, okay? But the fact is that doesn't mean that you have to go and fail until you get filled up in failure and say, okay, now I'll follow what these guys are doing. No, it may not. It doesn't work that way. We have no guarantee we're going to be around tomorrow.
Amen.
And you keep living that life that is unlike what God would love us, create us to be. We're not going to...
Well, it's kind of like... I'll start living a righteous life, you know, a few years from now.
Yeah,
I'll be righteous after I get this out of my after I get this out of my system. Yeah. I'll do after I get all the money I want. Then I'll start living righteous. All the stuff, all the comfortability that I want. Then I'll start living righteous. But
what was that word again?
Comfortability.
Comfortability.
Yeah, is that a word?
You come up with. Yeah, well,
I'm making it.
Yeah, well, okay.
Stamping that.
All right, it's yours. You got it. But here's the deal. That there is going to be enticement. There are going to be temptations. There are going to be lures. This is what's going to take place no matter what. But here's some of the ways of being able to take care of that, to be able to deal with these things. First, not attempt to do this by yourself. You need to have help. And that help doesn't only come from the Lord. You know, the Lord put people in your life for a purpose and a reason. And some of these people are angels. Mm-hmm. And there are other men who have actually been down this walk who are willing to be there for you to either listen to you, to pray for you, or to encourage you. And if you're able to find those men, those are the type of men you want to be around. places where they don't judge you nor condemn you.
Amen.
Now, don't just go by your own feeling, because your own feeling is kind of awkward sometimes, because you're going to be sensitive. So you get other guys that you can actually ask, say, hey, are they really making fun of me? Or is it just, you know, for everybody? Mm-hmm. Truly, what it comes down to is that we need relationship. That's what Jesus was all about.
Amen.
He says we need to be together. When he sent people out into the world, the apostles, they were two by two.
Amen.
Okay? Not one at a time, two by two. So that's what we are designed for, to be able to, as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another.
Well, the thing is at some time in our life, we will look to that other path that looks very appetizing, and we will start to take it. If someone isn't there to drag us back on, more than likely we'll go down that course. So it's inevitable in the human sense that we will be enticed away from God, and so we need others to speak wisdom into our life. And so, and for men out there, that doesn't mean godly women. That means godly men. So not that there isn't godly women to speak wisdom in your life, but you need to get involved with godly men. So.
In Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Amen.
There you
Amen.
Go. So this thing is all about relationship. That's what Jesus wants us to do.
Amen.
And brother, so let's get up off our seats and get on the phone, or get over there and seek some brothers out.
Get involved.
Who are actually
involved.
Willing to say, hey, I'm willing to help out if I can.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
All right. Good job.
My
How about you pray for our brothers today?
Father, I ask that you would give us a heart, a desire for you, Lord, that you would allow us and give us grace to turn everything over to you, that we would not hold anything back or keep it, but that we would turn our entire life over to you, that you would be in charge of everything, Father. So please bless us, watch over us this day, and give us grace to walk holy with you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.